a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 7 o'clock on Utah's Morning News. Good morning, I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report.
It is a developing story this hour. Salt Lake City police say they need more people to come forward this morning with information about the deadly shooting of a University of Utah football player.
Another young life taken by violence.
It's a story that left fans and players shocked and heartbroken. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards begins our live team coverage. Mary?
Amanda, Aaron Lowe was killed and a woman taken to the hospital in critical condition. Now, police say that some people came uninvited to a house party here. It's about 22nd South and Broadmoor Street, around 26th East, just by Foothill Boulevard, where you can just take it right to the U. Salt Lake City police spokesman Brent Weisberg says they have interviewed some witnesses, but others left right after the shooting.
We believe many of the witnesses who were at this house party were either had photos or videos, and detectives are very interested in reviewing that.
The police chief says their top priority is getting justice. He says he's getting updates all the time as detectives are going through every lead. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
Students at the University of Utah say they're struggling to understand the tragic death of football player Aaron Lowe, and it's making them relive the grief they felt when another player died less than a year ago. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson continues our team coverage.
For some students, the shooting hit very close to home, even though they never met Aaron Lowe personally.
That just, like, scares me, honestly, too, like, especially being somebody who goes to parties, that, like, you never know what's going to happen.
Others say everything they heard about Lowe on social media shows he was a great teammate and a loyal friend, and that his death is reopening the wounds they felt when Ty Jordan was accidentally killed by gunfire last Christmas. And others question why anyone would bring a gun to a party, and they believe the argument that led to the shooting was completely unnecessary.
I think it could have been resolved differently in a better way.
Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
KSL TV's Sam Farnsworth continues our team coverage, saying University of Utah head coach Kyle Whittingham released a statement saying in part, Aaron was a great teammate, friend, brother, and son, and was loved by anyone who crossed paths with him.
Athletic Director Mark Harlan added his remarks in a statement as well, saying in part, quote, Aaron was a terrific young man, a leader on our football team, and a rock of resiliency and courage. Our prayers are with Aaron's family, friends, teammates, and all who knew and loved him. We have been in communication with Aaron's family, and we are providing support to them.
Some of Lowe's teammates have taken to social media to react. Team Captain Devin Lloyd saying, why do the good have to die young? Be sure to stay with KSL as we continue to follow the latest developments in the investigation.
In other news this morning, police in Beaver County investigating a shooting that left one man dead in Minersville. Arrest records show that Mike Miller told police he shot the man in the chest because he thought he was protecting other people inside the victim's home. He told police the man was closing a door and possibly holding onto the wrist of his spouse when Miller opened fire. The victim died at the hospital. Miller now facing one murder charge.
KSL's top national stories this hour. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi signaled she may delay a vote on President Biden's trillion-dollar infrastructure bill. The bill has sparked a battle among moderate and progressive Democrats.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi determined to deliver that $1 trillion bipartisan Senate bill for roads and bridges to the president's desk, but admitting of Monday vote, as she had hoped, now unlikely.
I'm never bringing a bill to the floor that doesn't have the votes.
Progressives in the House committed to voting against that bill without an agreement around a $3.5 trillion budget bill, too.
ABC News White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks reporting.
A memorial for Gabby Petito was held in New York City, while at the same time FBI agents returned to the home of Ryan Laundrie in Florida as they work on building their case.
Ryan's family's attorney confirming FBI agents returned to their home requesting some personal items belonging to Brian Laundrie to assist them with DNA matching. Combined rewards for information leading to Laundrie's capture now climbing to $30,000.
ABC's Trevor Ault reporting there from New York.
We're learning new details this morning about the three people who were killed when an Amtrak train heading from Chicago to Seattle derailed in rural Montana this weekend. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
Among those killed when the Amtrak train derailed was Zach Schneider, according to his wife. She says in a statement he was a kind, compassionate, and patient man, a husband, a software developer, and debate coach. He loved board games, the Packers, and a good slice of Chicago-style pizza. NTSB and Federal Railroad Administration investigators are now on scene trying to figure out why the train derailed. Alex Stone, ABC News.
First look traffic on the 7 o'clock report. Let's go back over to Andy Farnsworth.
Right now, traffic backed up on Redwood Road as you go from West Jordan into Taylorsville because of a crash that's blocking the right lane just before the I-215 on-ramp. We've still got delays over in Tooele County through Stansbury Park as they begin to thin out finally now that the crash there that caused the delay is gone. And we've got a little bit of an I-15 slowdown going south through Kaysville going into Farmington. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 7 o'clock report brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com, KSL News Time 7:06.
A woman is recovering in the hospital today after falling approximately 15 feet while hiking near Farmington Creek. Search and rescue crews found the 36-year-old woman who slipped and fell while using a rope ladder. She was transported by Life Flight in critical condition yesterday afternoon.
The mayor of Cedar City says homeowners who had damage from last month's flood will not be getting help from the federal government. She says FEMA found there was not enough damage to public infrastructure for the agency to provide any assistance, but the Small Business Administration might be able to offer another financial assistance option for private property owners. They should know more by the end of the month.
Shining a light on domestic violence.
In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Utah is no stranger to the tough subject of domestic violence, and it's a topic on many people's minds after the murder of Gabby Petito.
KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt begins our team coverage, shining a light on domestic violence.
For the last few years, Utah has trended above the national average for domestic violence cases.
1 in 3 women in Utah will experience domestic or sexual violence in their lifetime. Nationally, that's 1 in 4. During COVID, it crept up to 1 in 3 nationally. For men in Utah, it's 1 in 7.
Liz Solis with the Utah Domestic Violence Coalition says the worst-case scenario, domestic homicide was higher than normal last year, and while official numbers for this year aren't available yet, she says it's been steady. Allies with Families Executive Director Jen Oxborough says it's heartbreaking, but cases like Gabby Petito's usually create an influx of calls for help to the state's domestic violence link line.
Anytime a story ran, we saw more calls come in on that hotline, and that's heartbreaking, but it's also hopeful for me because it means that people are listening and understanding and trying to promote safety.
Solis and Oxborough say it's important for people in toxic relationships, concerned loved ones, and even abusers who want to stop to know that help is available. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
Police and prosecutors have some new tools to help address domestic violence here in Utah. KSL News Radio's Dan Baumas continues our coverage, shining a light on domestic violence.
A state law that took effect last year adds dating violence to the list of reasons police can intervene in a dispute, as well as violence between spouses and intimate partners. State Representative Angela Romero says it's a huge problem nationwide.
On average, it's 3 women a day are murdered by their partner or their intimate partner or their spouse.
The Utah Domestic Violence Coalition says many who commit domestic violence crimes have a previous history, and about a quarter have already been ordered into treatment by the courts. Dan Bonas, KSL News Radio.
If you or someone you know is experiencing domestic abuse, help is available on the Utah Domestic Violence Link Line. That number is 1-800-897-5465.
KSL News Time now, 7:09. It's Triple Team Traffic brought to you by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Back to you, Andy.
Well, good news, Tim. In Taylorsville, they've cleared up the crash on Redwood Road at 6200 South. And now that they don't got any lanes blocked, boy, that delay cleared up real quickly. For those of you heading to get on 215 in Taylorsville, you shouldn't have anything else to slow you down. Tooele County, the delay clearing up a little bit more slowly, but it is improving. Now delays don't begin till Village Boulevard, but they go all the way up to the SR 138 intersection. And more than the usual delay on 138 itself as you go past Stansbury Park to join up with SR 36. Jason?
Still just a titch crowded at the Southgate of Hill Air Force Base, but the slowing that we had southbound I-15 around Shepherd Lane, that's mostly gone at this point in time. The rest of the highways and side streets, they're all looking really good up north. We haven't seen any accidents this morning, so fingers crossed that it stays that way. Eric?
I-15 continues to look good in Utah County. No impediments to your drive northbound from Payson to Point of the Mountain. Your expected 28-minute drive time. You do have one crash out in the mountains. This is for westbounders trying to get into the valley from the Heber City area. Just past Vivian Park on 189, you've got a crash that's got vehicles over on the right and left shoulders. Any Hour Services Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air is ready to help and continues to take precautions to limit your exposure as Utah reopens. Google Any Hour Services or visit anyhourservices.com. Eric Butler in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines, and Grant is back now with the hourly forecast on the 7 o'clock report.
Cool this morning. Temperatures starting off about 60 degrees at 7 a.m. We get to around 80, 81 or so at the noon hour with a lot of sunshine. 86 degrees at 4. It's pretty warm with mostly sunny skies. Backs down to the upper 70s at 7 p.m. There's your hourly forecast. I'm Grant Wayman, KSL Weather Center.
Ogden this morning, 58. Provo, the cool spot along the Wasatch at 54. And in Salt Lake City at 61 degrees.
How soon will we see kids aged 5 to 11 having access to vaccinations for COVID-19? We'll hear from Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who's the director of the CDC, on that topic in a moment here on KSL News Radio.
A new documentary about Britney Spears claims the singer was the subject of intense surveillance set up during her conservatorship.
Controlling Britney Spears, released by the New York Times, alleges her father, Jamie, hired a security company that bugged her room and tracked her text messages and calls.
Her own phone and her own private conversations were used so often to control her.
Alex Vlasov, a former employee who worked at Black Box Security for 9 years, says the company mirrored her phone to keep track of her conversations. The New York Times reporting that mirroring text messages without the consent of both parties could be a violation of the law.
That's ABC's Megan Tavrizian.
Prosecutors say two Louisiana men stole more than $500,000 from the airlines in a lost luggage scam. They say the men filed dozens of lost luggage claims but never traveled with any bags. This scam apparently goes back to 2015. The charges say the men bought tickets under false identities and preloaded gift cards. Then they told the airlines their luggage was lost, and the airlines paid out lots of money.
For the first time in the history of BYU football, the Cougars have won their first four games in two consecutive seasons. But head coach Kalani Sitake didn't appear that happy with Saturday's win against USF because the defense gave up 21 points in the second half.
The second half was just a dark cloud over the game because the second half just isn't our style of football that we're used to seeing from our defense.
BYU did move up in the AP poll, where the team is ranked 13th in the nation. Next on the schedule, an in-state rivalry game with the Utah State Aggies, who are looking to get back to winning after having a tough loss against Boise State. The BYU-USU game takes place on Friday night. The Utes, by the way, heading into a bye week after winning their first Pac-12 matchup of the season against the Washington State Cougars. They next play USC on the road October 9th.
A Utah high school student is now famous thanks to a mess-up by an ESPN camera crew at the BYU game. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe has the story.
J.J. Tua, a junior at Timpview High, was on the sidelines for Saturday's home game when an ESPN photographer zeroed in on him. He tells KSL.com he tried to move out of the way, but the camera followed him. The next thing he knew, he was getting texts from family and friends calling him the name of the starting quarterback.
Yeah, everyone was calling me Jaren Hall.
Turns out ESPN mixed him up with Jaren for their broadcast. Faster than a BYU first down, JJ's face was trending on social media, and by the end of the game, fans were asking if they could take selfies with JJ. Amy Kobabe, KSL News Radio.
That is so funny.
Yeah, I hope he was signing autographs on the sidelines all night long, too. Excuse me, trending this hour on the 7 o'clock report, Moulin Rouge took home 10 Tony Awards last night. That includes awards like Best Musical, Best Direction of a Musical. The Tonys came back last night in style after being postponed last year because of the pandemic.
Prince Harry and his wife Meghan appeared to be secretly filming a documentary or show about their lives for Netflix. News reports in New York City say the two had microphones hidden under their coats and their own cameraman when they were visiting the UN.
Molten lava is scorching everything in its path from that volcano on Spain's Canary Islands. Video shows a village church come crumbling to the ground with the intense heat coming from that lava flow.
Heartbreakingly, a second gun tragedy hits the University of Utah football team in less than a year. This time, a young man, Aaron Lowe, murdered at a party. The search for a suspect today on Dave and Dujanovic.
KSL News Time 7:15. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
Utah football fans and the team struggling to fathom heartbreaking news of a new player shot and killed as they're still grieving the loss of another player within the last year. I'm KSL News Radio's Mary Richards.
Second, people in Cedar City who went through repeated flooding this summer will not be getting any financial aid from FEMA. The federal government ruled there wasn't enough damage to provide help.
Third, let's get a check of that drive brought to you by Zions Bank, your business banking home.
Right now, traffic on I-15 is looking good. Had some delay in Kaysville that's cleared out. Earlier delays on Redwood Road gone in Taylorsville, but Stansbury Park, SR-36, still backed up, and now it's getting worse in Lake Point. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
Lots of sunshine today. Temperatures about 86. I'm Grant Wayman, KSL Weather Center.
Right now, it's 60 downtown.
With KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. The National Transportation Safety Administration is on the scene of that deadly train derailment in Montana. Three were killed, seven hospitalized. ABC's Matt Gutman is there.
Despite all the activity and the lights, the train itself has been left pretty much exactly as it was at the moment of the crash. And that's because the NTSB needs to get in there quickly and preserve what it calls the perishable evidence, things like recorders and rail conditions, to try to understand exactly what happened here.
The House is headed toward a vote on Thursday that would potentially fix the nation's rail lines and other things. ABC congressional correspondent Rachel Scott.
This is that roughly $1 trillion package that includes funding for roads, bridges, and broadband internet. Progressive Democrats say they will vote against this bill unless their party commits to passing a much larger economic package with funding to combat climate change and for child care.
If the debt ceiling is not raised by Congress, the nation could default on its bills. So far, Republicans in the Senate have said they are not willing to vote to do that. A federal judge is considering whether John Hinckley Jr., the man who tried to assassinate President Ronald Reagan when he was 25, should be released from the restrictions under which he's been living. Hinckley is now 66 years old. You're listening to ABC News.
Time now for the KSL In-Depth. Last week, Pfizer announced their plan to submit data to the FDA showing a safe dosage of its COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 5 to 11.
So how quickly could we see approval to begin vaccinating these children? This morning, ABC's TJ Holmes asked that question of CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
We are all enthusiastically awaiting these data. As soon as they get submitted to the FDA, I know the FDA is urgently planning to review these data. It will go from the FDA to the CDC, and we will review it with similar urgency, and I'm hoping in the order of weeks.
On booster shots now, you made the unusual decision to go against your CDC advisory committee on the key issue. Some of those advisors argued that there just isn't enough data for frontline workers to be included in this next round of booster shots. Why did you disagree?
You know, this scientific process goes from an advisory committee at the FDA to the authorization of the FDA to an advisory committee at the CDC and then recommendations from the CDC. It's a very transparent, scientific, public process. And I listened intently, and after doing so, I fully endorsed the recommendations from the CDC advisory committee for boosters for those over the age of 65, as well as for those with underlying conditions. And then I also endorsed in full alignment with the FDA and many people at the CDC for boosters for people with high-risk exposures like those who work in occupational settings or in group settings. And I felt, after listening to all of the science, that that was actually the best move for public health.
Mm. I did hear over the weekend Director Walensky was asked about kids trick-or-treating this year.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, if you're going to be outdoors, go for it. So if parents had questions about that, I know we're a month away, but if you had questions about that, that answer also came over the last few days.
That's good news.
Yeah. We'll continue to follow the vaccines for kids, of course, on the In-Depth at 15 and 45.
719 Triple Team Traffic brought to you by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Andy?
Amanda, right now traffic on the freeway through Salt Lake County, I-15 is looking good. We've got busy traffic over on the west side at 56 West and over on Mountain View Corridor as you head towards 35th South and West Valley and Tooele County. We've got leftover slowdowns in Stansbury Park from an earlier crash, and then slowing in Lake Point from the people who were stuck behind the crash earlier as well, now finally being able to make their way towards I-80. Jason?
Traffic running fairly thick and slow if you're southbound, if you're eastbound on 7 South in Clearfield, but that's kind of typical for this time of the morning. Southbound I-15 remains clear as you travel from Ogden to Salt Lake. Should take you still about 30 minutes to make that distance this morning. No problems. 89 Legacy or the West Side Belt. Eric?
Heading north on Foothill Drive, that looks okay all the way to the University of Utah. Going out to the mountains, no trouble there on I-80. But if you're coming into the southern part of the valley from Heber City, 189 through Provo Canyon, you do have a crash just past Vivian Park that's over on the right and left shoulders. Looks like the delays that you had going through there, looks like those have eased a little bit. I-15 Utah County, no problems. Get 0% APR on balance transfers and purchases up to 6 months, plus low rate and rewards with a new credit card from Cypress Credit Union. For details, visit cypresscu.com. Eric Butler in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. Hang on for a 7-day forecast that gets us right back to fall-like weather.
We got a lot of sunshine today. High temperatures 86 degrees. It's cooler tomorrow. Breezy, 74 the high with showers and thunderstorms. Good bet tomorrow afternoon and evening. And then on Wednesday, it's a lot cooler, 62 with some showers possible in the morning on Wednesday. Clears out on Thursday, 68, and it's cool with lots of sunshine. Warmer on Friday, 73 in the sunshine, and then warmer for the weekend, more sunshine, 76 on Saturday, and up to 77 on Sunday. I'm Grant Wayman, KSL Weather Center.
60 downtown.
You've been listening to the 7 o'clock report brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air. AnyHourServices.com, KSL News Time, 721.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.